Don't interrupt the music, Judith.
No, I'm definitely not.
Just sit quietly.
That's exactly what I'm doing, Jenny.
Sit quietly and enjoy the tune.
Quite sophisticated.
Have you got a cup of coffee? What have you got? What have you got on your table?
I have got some fizzy water. I've done my coffee. I've been through the coffee phase of the morning. Had a poo. And I'm now on a bottle of water, like the young people.
You know, fizzy water? This time, it's very... I think it's early for fizzy water, do you think?
Well, actually, it is a bit. It is. I know what you mean. Because really, if it was like the young people, not that I see many these days, it obviously would be a sort of, you know, a kind of Oliver Bonas water bottle, wouldn't it?
Oh, I see. You're saying,
do you know what I mean? Oliver,
yes, they'd come
it
with.
It would be a flat.
Yeah, one of those bottles that they're growing kind of a petri dish of filth around the rim because they never get them properly clean. Yeah. I have.
What about you?
I have a cup of coffee with me in a mug, in a nice mug with a thin rim, a thin rimmed mug, Judith. Increasingly difficult about what I drink out of. Now, Judith, how fussy are you?
Oh, slow down. Slow down. What do you mean by thin rimmed exactly? I want to know. I want to know shape. I want the full detail of the kind of mug that you like these days.
Well, I'm drinking out of a Scandium mug. I'm not sure whether they have survived the pandemic, Scandium. I think maybe they're online mostly now.
Oh, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, Scandium is it's a nice shop, a Scandi design shop. I'm not saying it's porcelain, but it has a thin rim.
I see.
And
so
I cannot do.
Right, okay, so that's the bit that's important to you, is the rim. For me, the shape is crucial.
Okay.
It's crucial, Jenny.
Okay,
I hate mugs that are thin because it doesn't cool down. You know, your coffee just does not cool down and the surface area on the top is far too small. I haven't really noticed the thickness of the rim, but now you've mentioned it, I might be a bit fussy about that too. I do. There's only three or four mugs in the cupboard that I really like, and I will wash it up in order to have my nice mug. But do you know what? I think one of the features of getting old is that you do start to have strong feelings about a lot of things that you didn't give a shit about when you were young.
I think you're absolutely right, Judith. I think you've put your finger right on the middle-aged pulse there.
Yes.
We're more tricky about our mugs than we used to be. That's what we're saying.
Yes, we are.
I mean, there's something that... I mean, I'm looking forward to going back on the road quite a lot, but there is something that I know I'm going to have to contend with again that I've always found quite difficult, and that is the theatre green room, which is... the backstage area where all the techies hang out.
Sordid areas.
Oh, the most sordid spaces.
Oh.
If you want the epitome of sordid, then go into a green room in, you know, any touring theatre and open the microwave door. And you will see a sight that will repulse any normal human.
Yeah.
Really, quite difficult. So that's, there's pros and cons to touring, and that's one of the cons. Anyway, how are you feeling, Judith? How are you on the mood scale?
I'm all right. I'm not bad. I'm sort of middling to maybe up to a sort of 6 or 7 occasionally.
Okay,
well,
okay.
The weather's been nice. The weather's been nice. Yeah.
So peaking at 7, because sometimes you're quite cheerful, Judith, and you can go quite easily up to an 8.
No, 7's a good score. 7's
okay.
a good score.
In a global pandemic, even though we're sort of coming out of it, anything above 8 is cocky, actually, and shouldn't be encouraged because basically it's jinxing us all, isn't it?
So where are you? Are you below 5?
No, I'm not 5. I've come up. I've dragged myself up. I'd say I'm matching you on a 7. And I would say there have been moments... in the last week where I have got to a 7.9. I mean, I won't go over cocky. I'm not going to go over the 8 line.
Right, okay.
You know,
well, we want some details then. Doing what?
Well, I think, Judith, that the weather... I mean, today it's shit.
It really is, isn't it? Annoying.
Yeah, it really is annoying. And I didn't go out for a walk yesterday. I just couldn't be arsed, you know. And I don't even know what the weather was like yesterday. I just couldn't be arsed. Still had a very good night's sleep. Didn't wake up till 8:30 a.m. But I've just dropped that in there.
Shut up.
I know. But I have had some nice moments. I've had, I tell you what's made me feel a little bit more in control of the situation. I've been doing quite a lot of DIY COVID testing. If I want to see somebody and I want to be sort of, like I've had somebody around to sort of talk about my stand-up show with them. And we worked outside mostly, but he was, because we'd both done DIY COVID tests and they'd been negative, I didn't feel freaked out about him being in the house and getting
himself, you know, going
to the loo or things like that.
Mm. But you wouldn't want to open this up to potential guests, presumably, because they're in great danger lies, I feel, because, you know, it means that you might have to actually be much more sociable.
Oh, no, no, no. I'll have run out of tests. I haven't got enough spare tests.
Of course you will. Can't do too many of them, no. Just beware. I'm just saying.
No, I mean, it's not sort of, you know, throwing the house open. It's just so that I can work outside without a mask at quite close quarters. That sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think I'm being quite sensible. It is a weird little kit that you get.
Is it? Do you feel like a kind of a scientist?
Junior scientist, yes, very junior scientist. You get this kit and you get what would have been a test tube once upon a time. It's a little plastic vial, and you get everything's in individual packets, and you get a swab thing to stick down the back of your throat. You stick it down the back of your throat, you swab around your tonsils.
As you're describing it, Jenny, I'm thinking it is very much like playing doctors and nurses.
You'd
isn't
love it, Judith,
oh, God,
honestly.
Yeah.
I really, do you know what?
Go
There's
on.
A bit of you that would probably dress up to do this.
Absolutely, you're describing it. I think I might go to Boots and get a few. Yeah, go on.
You can get them online as well if you don't want to bother going into town. You can get them online. You can get them. They're free. They're absolutely free. And each packet comes with about 7 testing kits. There's a week's worth of testing in it.
So were you any good at science at school? I can't picture you doing science. Go on.
No, because I was probably wagging off. That's why you can't picture me there, because I probably never turned up. No, I wasn't a wagger offer, because I knew I'd get into too much trouble, because I knew that I'd be missed because I was noisy and silly. So if I wasn't being noisy and silly, the teacher would realise I wasn't there. So I didn't do any wagging off. Were you a wagger offer?
Oh, of course I wasn't. No, no. But, I mean, science didn't make any sense to me. I mean, I physics and chemistry, it might as well have been white noise. I mean, I can't... The physics... I couldn't understand what the point of it was. I understood nothing.
No, I still,
nothing.
You know, as you're saying it, what did you learn in physics? What was it that...
I think there were diagrams. I think there might have been...
But was it about weight and fulcrums?
Possibly.
I have no idea.
I have retained nothing. I understood nothing at all.
I think there was something about displacement of water.
Oh,
that's physics, isn't it? You know,
possibly.
But you have to, and then there's a formula. And by this point, you switched off. You think, I don't mind putting a thing in some water and seeing how the water comes. That's fun. That's like having a bath. But the rest of the shit, I'm not bothered about that.
Oh, it was dull, wasn't it?
Oh, it was dull.
I think there might have been some pendulums involved. I mean,
there were pendulums
in chemistry. There were stinky smells that people would
tubes
muck about
and different coloured iodines and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't know what that was for either, but at least there were a few sort of things that...
You know, I cannot for the life of me even remember my physics teacher, which kind of sums it all up, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah,
she must
really
have been
does.
So she or he can't remember whether it was a man or a woman. That's how much impact physics teacher made on me. No recollection whatsoever.
Me too. The only thing is, I do remember a girl at school called Susan Thomas, who obviously had a bit of a thing for the physics teacher, because the only eventful thing that used to happen in physics is that Susan Thomas was forever fainting. I think she turned out to be an epileptic or something. So I think it was real, but for ages we used to think, here we go, you know.
She's showing off,
you know, and then there was a sort of, keep and make a space, go and get some help, you know, and he used to sort of kind of reassure her.
Oh, undo her shirt.
I don't know about that. But yes, I remember that. And then I think in chemistry, the only thing I used to do is Jane Smith. She was called Jane Smith. She was quite, you know.
Are you sure she was called Jane Smith? Or had she made her own name up at the age of 11? So she could go through life anonymously. Okay.
And she was quite worldly wise. And she was the person that answered all those crucial questions about, I know that a boy's thing goes into your hole.
Yeah.
But like, to explain the docking procedure. So what she did is she explained, you know, erections, basically. I mean, I didn't have any brothers. I was an only child. So she talked me through that with diagrams at the back in chemistry. Very important. And
was it quite anatomically correct?
I think, well, not really. I mean, in terms of the size, because that obviously takes you by surprise, doesn't it, when you first see that? But no, in terms of the method. So really, I mean, that was an important lesson.
It was useful.
Lesson.
Yeah, you learned quite a lot in your science. There was a girl called Jill. I can't remember her surname. And she taught me the facts of life at Brownies because she had loads of older brothers.
Oh, that's young.
Yes, I know. She was quite racy, even in the Brownies.
Was she right?
Well, some of it was right, but some of it confused me quite. I'm still confused by quite a lot of it. Quite honestly, you know, where all the bits go and all that. Biology, there was a bit of biology that I didn't mind when we were on flowers, the sexing of flowers. And he used to draw the cross section of a flower with the stamens and the petals and all that kind of thing.
It's a funny thing to like. That was very dull compared to all the animals.
We didn't do animals because obviously that was a bit too sexual for our school because, you know, in case the girls might have gone mad if we'd done sex and the animals in school, we'd have probably all got off with each other. No, we had to keep to plant life only.
Oh, God, so you only did reproduction of plants.
I cannot remember going beyond that. We had a sex education class, which was titled Health and Hygiene. I've told you this before, Judith, I'm sure. It was taught by a woman called Miss Tight. And she was so tight, her vagina was so tight, she used to ride side saddle in school on her bicycle.
Because... I don't think you have told me that. I don't think you have.
Because if she strode her bike, she might have broken her hymen. That's what we all said anyway.
All this speculation. I was really good at biology. I was, to be honest, I was always the annoying person with my hand up because I think I was a budding kind of hypochondriac even then. So I sort of listened, you know, that always sounded really kind of important to me. And actually, occasionally in a pub quiz or something like that, I can surprise people around me, you know, with a few little tidbits from biology.
Like what?
What does DNA stand for?
Well, what does DNA stand for?
Deoxyribonucleic acid. Yes.
You'll my phone a friend. If I ever get on one of those ridiculous... I've been asked to do Mastermind loads of times, but you know you don't get any money. You have to give it to charity. And I think I'm not going to make a public fool of myself in front of several million viewers, you know, showing my ignorance for no money. But the thing is, in those situations, because I've done the chase and at home, you know, it's sort of much easier. And I was there and I was really sort of laughing and joking before we all went in. And I remember that this, to my shame, and I said to, you know, Richard of Richard and Judy, Madeley, I said, the thing is, I know I'm not stupid, so I don't really get that bothered about things like this because, you know, if I know it, I know it. If I don't, I don't. And then when it was my turn, I absolutely fell to pieces, Judith. Absolutely. I didn't know. Some of the questions were really simple and I just sort of was like a frog gulping. And then one of the questions was how many billboards outside Wyoming for the film. Remember that film? And I'd only seen it 3 days before. And I just, for some reason, I said 7. Oh, God.
I can imagine. Actually, funny enough, we've been watching the reruns of Fawlty Towers recently. Oh, they are marvellous, aren't they?
Yeah.
And the Gourmet Night, which is my absolute favourite, was on. And I don't know whether you remember it, but Basil is introducing the Colonel to somebody else. And there's somebody who's called Mr. Twitchin, and the other ones, you know, it's this terribly sort of embarrassing. He's got to introduce somebody to somebody. And then he forgets his own name. Is it such a panic? Simple as to say.
They were so brilliant. And it's such a shame John Cleese turned out to be such a prick in the end. I mean, I'm sorry, everybody, but what an objectionable man as he grew into sort of late age. It just, you know, really not pleasant. Did you ever come across him?
Oh, I did several times. Yes, I remember saying, I think I might have told you, I remember saying to him once, oh, aren't you lucky living in Santa Barbara? And he said, Judith, it's not luck. I chose to live there. Oh, God. All right. Don't rub it in.
Yeah, picky. Irritating, I'd love to go to Santa Barbara, though. But I haven't done any of those places, Judith. Santa Barbara, Malibu, Palm Springs, all this sort of kind of those places that are so iconic as kind of 60s America and...
Oh, you and Jeff would really be
Beach Boy
element.
Music and, oh, and I just, sometimes, you know, you catch a bit of a travel program and you just think, I don't know whether I'm ever going to get there now.
I know. We've been watching the Durrells, you know, on Corfu, for instance. And, yeah, I know what you mean. You just think,
but that's a Corfu of a different time as well. I don't know whether Corfu now is, well, who knows? I mean, in some respects, because of the pandemic, things might go back to a gentler sort of more relaxed feel because Corfu, I think, did get very damaged by its own popularity, didn't it, really?
Yeah,
have you ever
sure.
been? I mean, I think there are bits. You know, there are also, we know, you get to the airport and most people go to the scruffy end of the island. There's always about three people in straw hats that have got friends with the place. Oh, no, we're going up to the north. It's a little bit it's right on the edge. No, nobody knows. It's not really a proper road. We're just going to be dropped and our friends will come pick us up, you know, in a truck and stuff because, no, you won't know it. It's private cove.
That is so true. And you're all herded into the fucking buses and going to some horrible concrete, you know, kind of...
Yeah, and there's a welcome meeting in a shining floor hotel with some shit drink that you've got to have.
Oh,
and then, it's just a tiny little cove.
Yes, in the hills. Gorgeous little caves and beaches.
We've just got a little boat there. It's rather fun. Anyway, there we go. What about... your social life, Judith. How have you been socialising as we come out of this latest lockdown?
Yes, well, there've been one or two fire pit evenings, one or two suppers around the fire pits, which of course is the thing. It's the thing now, isn't it?
You come home. Do you remember when you used to come home from, you know, the clubs and the pubs, and you used to stink of fag smoke? Yeah. Stink of the stuff. And now you come home from supper in the garden with friends, you stink of fire pit smoke.
Yes, you do.
New fag smoke,
right.
Innit?
Yeah, yeah.
Even we've been out, Judith.
Round to somebody's house and sat in their garden?
Well, not in someone's house. Yes. Out the back. Our friends, Jane and Paul. I knew Jane when I was last year of primary school. She came. Yes, I've known her a very, very long time. Of course, she looks 10 years younger than me. We were in the same class at primary.
Oh,
if you put us side by side and you said, okay, which one, who's the oldest? She's actually older than me, but people would say, oh, no, you're 10 years older than her because she's very fit. I know, it's annoying.
Oh, maddening.
Yeah. I know.
I don't think you should be friends with her anymore.
I'm not sure I am at the moment because I had this awful wave of jealousy, Judith.
Oh,
I mean,
did you?
Yeah, bad. It sort of, for about 10 minutes, it spoiled my evening. Because their garden was all right, you know, but it was a sort of, it had a big old trampoline in when the kids, you know, because you buy those trampolines when the kids are sort of 7 and 9, don't you?
Yeah.
And they're so fucking massive and so difficult. You don't do anything with them until they're 29.
Stay there. Well, also they like to come on them, don't they, when they're in their 20s? When they've had
They like,
you know,
some
couple of glasses
on them.
And wine.
Yeah.
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 Right.
But they also, all that was in their back garden was a big trampoline and a tree that just shed rotten apples. I mean, the apples never got to a point where they were edible or anything. They just went from sort of bud to rotten. And they just spread this carpet of rotten apples full of wasps. So it was a difficult garden. Anyway, during the pandemic, they've had it done.
Oh, yeah. I see. That's what it was like. And now
it's
different.
Like that was the before. Before.
Oh, so you weren't expecting this wave of envy. Right, go on.
Judith, I wasn't prepared. You're absolutely right. I thought we'd be sitting near that rotten apple tree by the side of the trampoline. Oh, I've been. It's a London garden, so let's not get silly. It's not huge, but it's a nice space. And someone that used to go to our old school, Queen Mary School, Lytham, had done it, and it's just done a really lovely job. It's just on slightly different levels, and it's paved, and it's pebbled, and it's pots. But Jane seems to have green fingers, and she's got all these pots of tulips that she planted last October, and they've all come out, Judith. And I mean, there was just an array of stuff. It was a successful garden.
I know, but you see, envy's a terribly ugly emotion, isn't it? And I don't think you're as prone to it as I am.
I don't get jealousy.
But yes, I'd have been the same. I think I'd have been the same. I think I can feel your pain.
You're successful with your pots. I'm just a bit potted up. Tell me, go on.
Yeah, no, I mean, you haven't seen my garden for a very, very, very long time. Actually, really long time. I'm going to put on the notice board pictures of my lovely, lovely pots of tulips, because all the Sarah Raven ones have come out. And the wonderful thing about tulips, because I don't know that you've got any tulips, is, of course, you sort of dig them up every year and then you can put them in different places. And all her gorgeous sort of frilly ones are coming out, kind of pinks and creams and almost like greys and purples. Wonderful, wonderful.
When you say you can use them again, so if you've got them in a pot, right?
Yes.
So your tulips come up, bang, like that. You've got a firework festival of colour.
Yes.
What I really like, I mean, I have become slightly tulip mad this year because I think that there are so many different varieties. In the older days, you just used to get a tulip. A tulip was a tulip. But we are seeing a lot more extravagant, you know, the parrot tulips, this tulip, that tulip.
Yeah.
And so, okay, your pot of tulips, they die down. They're dead now. So do you, what do you do? Do you just pull them out by the root and then just rip off the bulbs and then what?
Well, they just pull them out. You just pull them out and then I kind of leave them in the, you know, in sort of bunches in the greenhouse or anywhere. And they sort
of
dry out.
But you see, I haven't got anywhere to put them.
Well, haven't you?
No, because if you leave them out, won't the squirrels just get them?
Oh, yeah, you can't leave them out. But you put, so you have to leave them in a garage or somewhere like that.
I haven't got garage.
Oh, God.
It's difficult. See, but London girl, I don't... Well, Jane's tulips are going to be shit next year then, aren't they? Because she's got no... she's got a shed. Fuck it.
But you could leave them in the pots. You could just leave them in the pots, but then you wouldn't have room to put your nice, you know, geraniums or anything like that in.
Don't like geraniums, so I don't want them. OK, so you just leave them in the pots and then they come back...
Yeah, they just come back. Yeah, so
do you have to cut them down? Do you know when they've all withered and fallen over and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Do you snip at them?
Yeah, I do, because they annoy me, obviously.
Okay.
But I think real professionals sort of leave them on or tie them in knots like the daffodils.
You're like a ponytail.
But do you know what? I know you're enthusiastic about tulips, but I heard, you know, the aforementioned Sarah Raven, she of the, you know, patron saint of flowers. And she said that the next big thing, or the current big thing, you know, after roses and after dahlias and probably tulips, are chrysanthemums.
Now, what I like about the chrysanthemum is I don't like the smell. That's the trouble. They have a funny, dry, weird kind of earwiggy smell. But there are some fantastic varieties. I think I like the pom-pom, the big white pom-pom.
Oh, now have a look at Avignon Pink, because Sarah Raven was saying that that's the flower du jour is Avignon Pink, and they're completely sold out because I've been trying to get some. Avignon Pink.
I'm looking at the Avignon Pink chrysanthemum, Judith, and it's it's a shaggy star of a chrysanthemum. So it's got a neat centre and then it's got a sort of explosion of star-shaped petals coming out from the centre.
But it's a very lovely, subtle shade of pink, isn't it?
It's a pretty pink, yes.
Yeah. I think you're underwhelmed, aren't you? You're underwhelmed. I think I wanted one.
I think it's very... Well, you only really want one because everyone else has got one and they've sold out. And what I'm saying to you is that there are plenty of other choices of chrysanthemum that you can get equally excited by.
But the thing about chrysanthemums is that they last ages. They apparently sit in the earth for ages and ages with their flowers on. And of course, when you cut them, they stay in the vase for ages before they make that horrible stinky smell in the water. I can see the point of them.
I tell you what our most recent purchase is. For the garden, because you've got to live in the garden now for, you know, a while, haven't you, until everything is completely normal. We've got a fat boy sunshade, stroke rain brolly.
What do you mean a fat boy? What's a fat boy sunshade?
It's just a make. I'm just dropping the name in case they want to sponsor us, Judy.
Or send us one. What does it look like then? Is it one of those really heavyweight things that kind of have a kind of swivelly thing?
It's a big fucker, yeah. It comes with a base. It's quite grown up, Judith. That's all I'm saying. It's quite.
Did you get that after you saw your friend Jane's tulips and design a garden?
Yeah.
Of course you did. Very nice. So I want a picture of that.
It's not arrived yet. It's taking it forever.
Oh.
And it's a grey and white stripe. So when that comes, I'll do a picture.
Okay.
Well, I did a picture of my garden the other day and people just started telling me what kind of furniture I should have.
Yes, they did.
The other big thing that's happened to me this week, Judith, is I'm losing my next door neighbour. Barbara's leaving. And this is kind of gutting for me. There are two big removal vans outside the front. Yeah, one of them's blocking our drive, but we said that was okay. But it's very nerve-wracking, isn't it?
It is nerve-wracking. Absolutely.
Yeah, nerve-wracking.
It's a big thing because she's been there for a long time, hasn't she?
Yeah, she was here before us, but she sold the house at auction.
So we have
absolutely no idea who is coming and what they're going to do. I'm trying to write this stand-up show at the moment, and I know that, just my luck, they're going to be doing a garage conversion and a loft extension. I can hear it now in my ears,
Jenny.
Judith. Bang, 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 bang. Drill, drill, bang, bang, bang. It's going to be like that, isn't it?
Oh, God. The trouble is with noise. I don't know whether you find this, but if you are in any way attuned to, you know, to noise being sort of interfering, you'll be super, super aware of it, won't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, you're going to have to wear some headphones. You're going to have to wear some really, really big headphones and get some
noise-cancelling headphones, or go down the road and work at my sister's. But then I thought, oh, God, no, that's going to be worse than bang, bang, bang.
Or you could be like J.K. Rowling. Didn't she go to some cafe?
We can't go to a cafe yet. You can't. You'd have to sit outside in the freezing fucking cold in a hat and gloves. You wouldn't get much work done. Neighbours are important, Judith. They must be even more important in the village with, you know, like your situation.
Oh, God, neighbours are incredibly important if you live in a village or a community like this. God, I remember we had neighbours once and, you know, they moved in and I knocked on the door and said hello. And I never forget what he said. He said, hello, yes, but we don't do neighbours. Just to let you know, we don't do neighbours. What? Fucking cheek. God, I never got over that.
I have instantly fallen in love with this man. this is right up my street. I'd at this point said, do you know, it's such a massive fucking relief because neither do we. Good day to you. We never need to speak again. If you have loud music, I will kill you. Do you understand?
It was quite a bold, actually, response, wasn't it? I know what you mean, but he used to dye his hair. I noticed over the years, he used to dye his hair really badly. And he had one of those sports cars that are kind of really low in the range. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, what are they called? TRIs or something. I don't really know what they were called, but a kind of cheap sports car. But they had a willow tree at the end of their garden. And willow trees grow really quickly. And the branches used to interfere with our view down the river, and that really pissed me off. So I used to go out there at night, and when it was in the growing season, I used to get my the big secateurs and lop bits off.
Judith. Yeah.
Yes, I did. Got my own back.
Judith.
Oh, I can be terrible. I can be terrible.
Goodness.
Sometimes.
I've just realised which house it is as well.
Yes.
Is that? I know. Yeah, I've got you. Yeah, I know. Oh, my goodness, I can see you down in your nighty with your secateurs.
Wait. I know. I used to wait and just never do too many at once. You know what I mean? I used to do like one or two just over a period of time.
Sneaky with the secateurs. Anyway, I think it's probably time that we go to Culture Corner.
Yes.
Oh, no, before that, Judith, really important question. Is your hair fixed?
My hair is fixed, Jenny. Now, I had a terrible post-lockdown hairdo, aforementioned last week, as you know. I decided to write an email rather than just be really fed up and never go back. I decided to write him quite a grown-up,
Well, you sent it to me. You sent it to me afterwards.
Did you think it was a good email?
I clapped at the end of it.
I sort of said, look, I did explain that I didn't want you to do this and you did it. And, you know, the colour is just very, very drab and I've come home very upset. So I, but he was really good. He sent me a very, very good email back saying I absolutely understand why you didn't say anything in the salon.
He was grateful you didn't say that, you didn't kick off in the salon,
actually,
basically.
Yes, in retrospect, I did think that, actually, because that's the last thing you want is honesty when they say, you know, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and he was really good. And so he offered to sort of do kind of look at it again. And better than that, give me a whole load of this stuff that you keep going on about.
Is it Olaplex?
So I thought, well, I'll talk to my Olaplex mate Jenny and ask her if this is a good transaction. And you said, absolutely, go for it. So I've been back and he was very good and I've come
out
with...
How tricky was it when you were back in the chair? Was there an eggy moment?
There was an eggy moment, but he was very good. The moment I stepped in, and he was clever because I think he timed it so that there weren't anybody yet, there was no other customers there. And he said, immediately, have you forgiven me? So actually, he was rather good. He was right, and I'm really pleased I did it. And they've had another go at the colours and I now don't look like, you know, I could get a lot of tabard work if I was being cast. Do you know what I mean? I look more myself, and also the product is obviously very good and my hair looks a bit shinier. So I feel much better. Much, 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 much better.
Yeah, that Olaplex stuff, I mean, it's pricey, it's a spendy thing, but, you know... It's worth it, I think. Well, for somebody with such poor quality hair such as mine, it has helped me a lot. But there we go. OK, Judith, I think we are heading into Culture Corner.
Yes, we are. Okay.
Now, I've got very thin pickings for Culture Corner this week.
You.
So I'm going to hand over to you.
Listen, Jenny Eclair, last week you mentioned that you were going to be going on a zip wire on TV.
Yes, if you're listening to this podcast on Friday the 30th of April, then tonight on Channel 4, the comedian Rosie Jones, who's a lovely girl, and she's got cerebral palsy, and she's got a travel show called Trip Hazard. She has been going to different places around the UK, and she and I go to Anglesey together, and we do this zip wire, which is apparently the longest zip wire in Europe or the world. Let's say the world, because, you know, we don't fact check anything on this show. And you have to go head first. It's basically you're head first in a harness and you get tipped off a gurney, basically. You have to lie on what is more or less a sort of stretcher bed. And then...
I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw you do it. I mean, there was a shot where the two of you were kind of, you know, miles away from some sort of reservoir. And obviously the wire was in front of you. And, I mean, it's a long way down. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it took sort of over a minute or 2 minutes or something. And, I can't remember all the facts now. It's in Anglesey. You can look it up. It's 60 quid. And, I mean, you've got to get your money's worth, haven't you?
Yeah. But didn't you say that you got up to a speed of 100 miles an hour?
Yeah.
I am so in awe of you. I really mean, did you dither? Did you sort of say,
there are cameras. You can't be a wuss, can you? And I'm also working with a girl with cerebral palsy. If she's going to do it, you know, I can't exactly bail out. What's my excuse?
She is
physically got a lot more problems than I have.
Yeah, I mean, you're a middle-aged woman.
I'm a middle-aged woman and I'm a bit overweight. I mean, what else? You can't really... Oh, and I'm a bit scared.
Honestly, I don't know how you did it.
I'd have paid good money to have done it with you. Oh. I'd have paid it good. Oh. I really would. Have bullied you onto that gurney thing.
I don't know whether I could have done, Jen.
I think you would in the end. But you'd have needed a lot of special help.
There
probably is somebody that they employ in it. Because you have to go up this sort of quarry, the side of this quarry, for about a mile to get to this wooden hut at the top, which is where they sort of launch you off from. There's probably a kind of trained specialist who deals with the difficult cases, you know, and they'd have to go, Ron, we've got one. Ron, She's called Judith. She's in trouble here. We've got a harness. We've had a wage. She's quite heavy. But we have got her. She's in position, but now she wants to change her mind.
She wants to get out. Yeah. Are you strapped in?
Can I get down? Can I get down?
You're strapped in.
Of course you're strapped in.
Oh, my God, Jenny. I would have shit. Did you shit yourself?
No, of course I didn't shit myself. I was on camera.
I'm impressed.
I think I was wearing quite loose trousers, so if I had done, it wouldn't show.
I am so, so impressed. Have you ever Googled middle-aged women on roller coasters?
No, I can imagine. I mean, that is just like you, isn't it? Over and over and over again. Yeah,
it is absolutely a worthwhile 2 or 3 minutes. And I so wanted you to see you being strapped in and all of that. But I am in awe. I am genuinely in awe, Jenny, that you did.
I didn't even do much screaming because when I was actually sort of, I did a bit of, oh, gosh, this is,
I know, it was very sort of mild, really.
And then I just shut up because I thought, well, I might as well just see what I'm seeing here, really, rather than just shrieking my head off.
And would you do it again?
Yeah. I wouldn't pay for it. It's 60 quid. I'm far too mean.
Well, I'm very, very, very impressed. And I think, you know, God.
It's only a half hour show anyway. So that's on Channel 4.
It's good fun.
But we've seen very little on the television. I mean, Jeff just seems to watch one Art Swindle documentary after another. I think he's plotting something. I have to say, his 20th Century Prince are doing very well. But I think he's watching these programmes and thinking, why is he so interested? And these are sort of massive $50 million art swindles and things.
Yes, there's been suddenly a sort of rush of them, aren't there? I know what you mean. Yes, I think we've seen one. But have you seen, actually, on Netflix, a film called Deception with Geoffrey Rush, who's the art forgerer?
Is he playing the English bloke who was the most famous art forgerer?
Yes, working in Paris.
I don't know. I'll have to watch it. Okay, so this is a film called... Like, what's it called?
It's called Deception, and it's Geoffrey Rush and Donald Sutherland, and it's on Netflix. Think you might like that. Yeah.
Okay, Jeff will like it. It's about art. Swindles and forgeries and deception. Oh, I love that. And what else are you watching?
Watching the Durrells on Netflix, which is, you know, fantastic escapism.
Pretty.
Really gorgeous.
Have you seen Starstruck with Rose Matafeo yet?
I have seen it, and it's very, very good. Have you seen it yet?
I've just seen the beginning of episode one, and I just thought, oh, this looks adorable. And she's one of our... She was a guest when we used to have guests on Older and Wider.
I think the gang would like it, Starstruck.
Okay,
Starstruck. She's charming. Lovely.
Okay.
Lovely.
Apart from that, I still haven't seen Promising Young Woman.
Nor me. No, can't find it. Anyway, I keep Googling it.
It's on the Sky thing or whatever. I'm still reading The Erin Kelly, which is very enjoyable. Watch her fall. And still on a very good Agatha Christie, which is Peril at End House. Jeff bought a very hard jigsaw puzzle, Judith.
Well, it's harder than usual. Harder than usual.
It's a Klimt. It's a Klimt woman. The artist Klimt is too hard, Judith. I think it's going to have to go in the bin and never be spoken of again. Okay, over to your books and jigsaws.
Jigsaws. Actually, Mike finished his City of London one, and I think he's on to the next one, and I might have a go with him because it looks a bit easier. And I'm still really enjoying the Cazalets. I mean, I'm really into the Cazalets at the moment, the first one. And they are magnificent, beautifully read on Audible. And, you know, I'm at that bit where the kids have set up a camp in the woods, a secret camp, and war is about to break out. Second World War is about to break out. Oh, it's marvellous. It's marvellous.
And what's great about being on the first book is you know that you have other chronicles, Cazalet chronicles to get to.
I know, they're masses, aren't they? Masses.
Yeah, it's great.
It's marvellous. It's absolutely great.
We are now on to emails. If you need reminders of our email address and our Instagram address, Judith, if you'd like to remember off the top of your head.
Slickly done. Right. OK, well, the email address is olderwiderpod@gmail.com. Yes.
Well done, that girl. And I've got the Instagram address, which is Older and Wider Podcast.
Very good.
Simple as that.
Good. Look at us, eh?
Now, last week we asked what could be more off-putting than a bloke liking the Goons, didn't we? That was your thing. You triggered Judith.
It was. And Deirdre, age 53 and still single, said, she says, it was my misfortune to date not one but two blokes that quoted Del Boy lines from Only Fools and Horses. Both specifically repeating Del's mange tout line. I don't know.
No, Del. I don't, because I could never actually. And I was one of the very few people. Apparently, you know, Only Fools and Horses is the funniest thing ever, ever, ever. I never watched it.
Didn't you? Oh, I watched,
no, I watched
it,
a few. I watched a few, but, you know, I could never get that excited by it.
But she said, but that, I mean, imagine two of them. Two of them.
What and no wonder she's still single. She's got taste. Deirdre, you're better off on your own, love.
Totally.
That's what we're saying. And thank you for your email. We also last week mentioned the subject of overseas listeners. We mentioned the phrase Antipodean and then only said New Zealand, and someone said Australia as well. We've got that. Thank you very much. And it's lovely hearing from our Antipodean friends. But on the subject of overseas listeners, Bill from my birthplace of Kuala Lumpur emailed in and he said he'd like a mention. He said he'd like a mention because it would irk his sister Mel.
Good word, irk. We like irk, the word irk.
Yeah, and irking sisters is just, you know, the joy of Bill's life, really. So Bill wants to irk his sister, who incidentally listens in Tunbridge Wells. She's 59 on May the 1st, so that's tomorrow. That's, you know,
yes,
tomorrow. So we'll wish Mel a happy birthday. Now, that'll piss off Bill, you see. So neither of them win, and that's fine. But we're not opening the floodgates to birthday requests, but that's a one-off. Bill, send my love to KL, as we call it.
Did you see Penny Smith, 67 and three quarters?
Yeah, she didn't look it, did she? She sent a photograph of herself. She didn't look 67 and three quarters.
No, she didn't. She didn't. And she
could have knocked her 10 years off that.
She said, could we do some older and wider T-shirts? Nice roomy ones with proper long / short sleeves, i.e. not too short.
Yeah.
Nice idea, Penny. But as you said, because you answered her, I'm afraid we've got quite a lot of stock to shift first, haven't we? But so, I don't know why we didn't think of T-shirts. That's a very nice idea, and I do like a baggy T-shirt.
Yes, I know. I think that we've got to clear the merch shelves, really, before we can have a conversation about T-shirts, because we'd just like to remind you, really, that the merchandise shop, Older and Wider Shop, is open. It's open all the time. It's virtual. It's online. It's not a 9 till 5, girls. You can pop in at midnight. You can have a couple of glasses of red and pop in at 3 o'clock in the morning if you like.
We highly recommend it, in fact. We highly recommend you to do that.
There's pinnies and there's all sorts of things. And we had a lovely, really lovely letter from our friend Louise, who's been through an incredibly tough time, but has received some good news recently. And she said that she really enjoyed having us during her horrible hospital stays. And we're very grateful, Louise, that you emailed in. And we know you've been through an absolutely terrible time. We're so glad you've come through the other side. So well done. Well done,
absolutely.
Everybody.
It was a lovely email, that was.
It really was.
Yeah. And it made me cry. And I just thought, because she sort of said that we kept her company at 3 a.m, didn't she?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, okay.
And we are here to do that for you all whenever you like. You don't have to listen at 3 a.m. or 1 a.m. You can listen in the morning if you want. You can listen anytime you like. We're portable.
highly portable.
Well, not in physical person. Any of you tried to lift Judith and I, you'd struggle. And the two of us together, I mean, Jesus, you'd have to be Popeye, to be quite honest. But there we go. Thank you very much.
Good.
I have enjoyed our chat this morning, Judith. I will look forward to chatting with you again soon. Thank you, Daisy. Thank you, everybody. And we'll speak to you next week. Lots of love.
Okay. Bye, gang. Look after yourselves.
Bye-bye.
Toodle-pip.